Are you tired of the same boring and unhealthy diet of corporate media propaganda and the distraction du jour? Your antidote is here at Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Real, revolutionary, and relevant news and talk with fascinating and brilliant guests. Prepare to be informed and motivated with your friend and host, Cindy Sheehan.
Welcome back to the Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. This week, I'm going to replay an interview I did this past week with Dan Yassine of Speaking Truth to Empire. This is an interview of me by Dan. So stay tuned, and both Dan and I will be speaking truth to empire.
My name is Dan Yassine, and I am an anti-war and anti-empire activist. Mike Rhodes is at the control. Today is January 20th, 2016, third Wednesday of the month. Every third Wednesday from 3 to 3:30 p.m., I interview authors, scholars, bloggers, columnists, and activists who help us look at our world through the prism of American imperialism. On the show, we talk about U.S. foreign and domestic policies and the actions of the military, industrial, governmental surveillance complex. These actions have severe consequences, not only for the American people, but for the people in other countries. To create a better, humane, and a compassionate world, we must first understand what is being done in our name, and we must always be willing to stand up, speak out, and speak truth to empire. Today we will have Cindy Sheehan on telephone with us, and Mike is trying to get hold of her at this point. Cindy Sheehan, I'll go ahead and introduce who Cindy Sheehan is. An author, blogger, and radio talk show host. Cindy Sheehan is America's leading nonpartisan anti-war activist, and I think we have her on the phone. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Cindy's website is www.cindysheehansoapbox.blogspot.com. Cindy's world changed forever when on April 4, 2004, her son, Army Specialist Casey Sheehan, was killed in Iraq. Cindy and other military families met with President George W. Bush in June of 2004. By October, Cindy's grief had led her to action. She wrote, "I was ashamed that I had not tried to stop the war before Casey died. Well, now I felt that even if I could not make a difference, I would at least try. It has been 11 years, and now she is one of the strongest and persistent voices in the movement against the wars of the empire." In August of 2005, Cindy camped out near President Bush's ranch in Crawford, Texas. She requested a second personal meeting with the president, who had declared that the fallen soldiers had died for a noble cause. Cindy wanted to know exactly what that cause was and to demand an immediate end to that she viewed as an unjust and immoral war. Cindy has traveled extensively to join anti-war rallies and to meet the activists all over the country and around the world. I am very excited to announce that Cindy has accepted Peace Fresno's invitation to join David Swanson for an event in Fresno on Memorial Day, May 30th. Cindy, we are looking forward to have you back in Fresno in 4 months.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to being there again. I really feel very close and a good affinity with Peace Fresno, for sure. I wear your guys' sweatshirts all over the place.
Thank you so much. Congratulations on the 7th anniversary of Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox, which is also the 7th anniversary of Speaking Truth to Empire. Tell us, tell our audience about your radio show.
Well, I began it in January of 2009. It was right after the 2008 elections, and of course, those elections were significant because Barack Obama was elected, and I had run for Congress in San Francisco against Nancy Pelosi, and our campaign had a very difficult time getting any kind of media coverage, and we still came in second. I was independent. We beat the Republican and all of the other people running. I think there were like 7 candidates at the time, so we came in second against Pelosi, but I felt we would have done much better if we had gotten some honest coverage, received honest coverage there. And so I started a radio show in San Francisco out there. It used to be Air America, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Air America had a radio station there called Green 960, so I started my show there once a week. And so it was the first Sunday, I think, in January when it premiered, and then Obama was inaugurated. So we're going into our 8th year, where it's not our final year, even though it's Obama's final year in office. We're going to keep going, and we called it the Soapbox because we wanted to give the peace issues, the social justice issues that were not covered properly, we wanted to give people an opportunity to have a soapbox to do that. And so we've struggled, and we've had, you know, many victories, and I think just staying on air as independent, and now we're not affiliated per se with any terrestrial radio station, even though we play around the country on some radio stations. But we're still going, and I'm very proud of the guests we've been able to present, the topics that we've, just like your show, topics that you don't hear even on so-called progressive radio shows. You don't hear some of the topics that we cover. So, and people, like you said, just Google Cindy Sheehan Soapbox, and we have every single show we've ever done archived there. We've had just guests who are trying to raise money to open a GI coffee shop, to people like Howard Zinn and Yoko Ono, you know, just a wide gamut of guests that have really contributed, I think, to the conversation over the years of Obama. Like you said, we're nonpartisan, and our, you know, our mission statement is to be intellectual, to be honest, to stick to our values, not the values of the 1%, not the values of the war machine, not the values of the twin parties of Wall Street and war, the Democrats and Republicans.
Cindy, you wrote a book on Obama, The Obama Files, Chronicles of an Award-Winning War Criminal, which came out last year. He just finished another year and has one more to go, like you said. Tell us about your book and give us some of the highlights, or rather the low lights of what he has given us in 7 years.
Well, you know, I started writing, setting the record straight when he was running for president, when everybody was approaching me saying that he was the peace candidate. You know, I was setting the record straight about how he said that he would expand troops to Afghanistan, and things like nuking Iran wouldn't be taken off the table. And we know since he's been inaugurated that he has expanded the wars that were already happening when he became president, bombing now Yemen through the proxy of Saudi Arabia, even though Obama has used the drone bombing liberally in Yemen, even killing 2 American citizens Anwar al-Awlaki and his son Abdul Rahman al-Awlaki. And without, of course, due process, executing, assassinating them. And he expanded drone bombing, as you know, in Pakistan, Afghanistan, to 500 times more than Bush did under his disastrous criminal regime. Destroyed Libya, executed Gaddafi through proxies. Now we're involved against this new enemy, ISIS, that there's much evidence that it's been funded and created by the U.S. and Israeli interests. And Syria, the so-called Iran nuclear deal was, of course, negotiated from a position of dominance over Iran, and the U.S. is still holding its, its options to do something militarily against Iran. Of course, this continued the policy of the Obama administration's continued. One of these days, I'll stop saying Bush administration when I'm referring to Obama. Maybe next emperor we get. And there's just so much. You only have a half-hour show. There's so much to cover. And he's continued, of course, the support of Israel over the poor Palestinian people and, the assaults on Gaza. And then domestically, of course, the police state has increased.
Mm-hmm.
There's been very little accountability for the police murders and... prison industrial complex is expanding, spying has expanded, the deportation of immigrant workers has expanded, the Obama regime has split up families, of course, put them in detention centers. So it's just been when people talk about, oh, Trump said that he would deport all immigrants or something like that. I'm like, well, that's what Trump said, but this is what Obama is doing. Why don't you oppose what Obama is actually doing rather than what some, clown in New York is saying?
Yeah. Cindy, United Nations just released a report yesterday that nearly 19,000 Iraqi civilians have died and more than 3 million have fled their homes over a 22-month period marked by a staggering level of violence. The report says that is the reason why Iraqis were seeking refuge in Europe. It goes on to blame Islamic State, Iraqi mm-hmm. security forces, and pro-government militias. No mention of American wars, bombardment, and supplying of arms to different groups to fight against each other. I mean, what we see today in the Middle East is the consequence of the pillage and plunder of Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama policies of the last 25 years. You are one of the most, vocal opponent of the empire. Talk to us about the suffering of people here and abroad. I know you already touched that, but let's talk about the suffering of people in other countries.
Well, to me, these presidential elections coming up are such a distraction from the terrible issues all over the world and consequences of empire. I mean, even the so-called progressive campaign like the Sanders campaign, they're not addressing these issues. People are latching on to Sanders because he's saying, lower interest on student loans, let's tax Wall Street, let's tax the wealthy, let's have single-payer health care. But one thing he's not saying is let's take some money away from the Pentagon. Let's take some money away from the military-industrial complex. Let's close the 900 bases plus probably almost 1,000 bases around the world. Let's bring, let's bring all the troops home. Let's bring, let's end these wars and let's start rebuilding a country here in the United States that is, that pays attention to people's needs, not to corporate greed, and they're not. You know, nobody is saying anything like that. And I'm not saying that I want our troops to come home because I want the United States, I want the citizens here to be given all of these wonderful social programs. Not that I don't, but I want the people in the rest of the world, in all these countries that the United States is infesting with military bases, with pollution, with toxicity, with you know, all kinds, almost every base that we have around the world is a Superfund site. And so people are suffering because of the consequences of the U.S. military empire. And that has to end. And that's the only way we're going to make this world healthy. And not just this world, but this nation, the United States of America. And when we talk about all of these wonderful, you know, human rights that people are entitled to, that which many countries already have, by the way. I'm going to leave for Cuba tomorrow, and Cuba already practices a lot of what, you know, the progressive campaign is saying that we should do here in the United States. The only thing it doesn't have is an empire. It doesn't have military bases all over the world. Cuba sends doctors and engineers and professors and teachers to help other countries. They don't send troops and military contractors and things like that around the world. And so that's what we need. When we say human needs, that's for everybody on the planet, not just here in the United States. And when we look at this progressive campaign, I think people who support it really need to look at what they're supporting. They need to demand that their candidate says, we're going to fund these programs, these good programs here in the United States, by ending the U.S. military empire around the world. But that's how we're going to fund it, and that's how we're going to make this whole planet healthy, not just peaceful, but prosperous for everybody and environmentally healthy. The Pentagon is the number one polluter and the number one user of fossil fuels around the world. If it were a country, it would be number one. So, you know, that has to end if we want a future for our children and our grandchildren and all the children and grandchildren of the world. And it's national chauvinism to say we want more here in the United States at the expense of everybody else. We want our cheap computers. We want our cheap gas. We want our cheap cell phones. We want our cheap food without thinking of the consequences of other workers and people around the world that it's harming.
We are speaking with author, blogger, radio show host, and anti-war activist Cindy Sheehan. Just a couple of weeks ago, Obama spoke about the gun violence in America and proposed some restrictions on sales of guns. Tears streamed down his face when he talked about American children being killed by gun violence. I'm sure you notice the irony that the biggest gun merchant in the world, who is responsible for the killings, like you had said earlier, for tens of thousands of people, including children in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, Libya, Yemen, Somalia, and Syria, was telling about the gun violence in America while he's doing gun violence everywhere else. What is your take on this hypocrisy?
Well, just exactly your take on it. It's hypocrisy. It's crocodile tears. It's and that's the way the politicians in the United States are going to be. They are they don't serve the people. They serve the corporations. They serve the special interests. They serve the war machine. They are able servants of empire. Obama is just as much an able servant of empire as his predecessors were. And so it just made me physically ill to see that. Nobody wants anybody killed. We don't want white Christian children here in the United States killed. We don't want Muslim children killed or Jewish children killed or whatever kind mm-hmm. of children, anybody killed around the world. And like you said, the United States is the number one arms merchant in the whole world. And another thing is nobody addresses the fact that the police and military are heavily armed, mm-hmm. and that, you know, that is an imbalance also. And so we just, the United States is so addicted to violence. What would the people do if there wasn't a... they just, like, people just focus so much on there's a killing in San Bernardino. There's a killing here. There's a killing there. A mass killing I'm talking about. But nobody gets that hysterical when, say, 36 people are killed at a wedding in Afghanistan mm-hmm. by the United States. Why aren't we glued to our TVs then? So the Obama is just playing a role. Mm-hmm. He's just serving his time mm-hmm. as the person who took over from Bush, who was able to further that agenda with very, very little opposition to it. And the opposition that came from the Republicans, of course, is just staged opposition on certain social issues, mm-hmm. not so much on his wars or enhancing the police state.
One of the concerns I have is the rising Islamophobia in the U.S. Many progressives, like you mentioned earlier, that are ready to blame, jump on Trump and his rhetoric against Muslims. But the real reason, as you had mentioned earlier, is our policies, the U.S. policies towards Muslim countries, our imperial hubris and mainstream media's propaganda. Another study just released says that under the tutelage of Obama, the United States has dropped 23,144 bombs on Muslim country just in 2015, in 1 year. I mean, how do you see this rampant Islamophobia in America?
Well, of course, it's fostered by the corporate media and by the politicians, but like you said, the reaction against people bombing your country or occupying your country in the cases of the Arabic Muslim countries, to me, is like a natural reaction that most human beings would commit, that there would be rising opposition to what you do. Islamophobia is bad here, it's bad in Europe. It's there's a current, you know, Dan, if you know U.S. history, there's always an enemy that we're taught that we hate. We're taught that they're subhuman, that they don't have the same values that we do. And nobody even defines those values. The establishment U.S. values to me are violence and profit and greed and environmental destruction. So those aren't values that I hold dear to my heart. So it's just, it's been one enemy after the other since I've been, you know, alive. First it was communism and communist countries, and now it's terrorism, which is a much better enemy for the war machine, because it's not really confined to a country. So, mm-hmm. you know, you can not only increase the war state, but increase the police state in reaction to real or imagined or staged threats to people in the United States. So it's just Islamophobia is a long tradition of just hating or being told who to hate and why we should hate them. And it's just, to me, it's really tragic in 2016 that our fellow citizens are, or people who live in this country, are still buying or still believing that crap that comes from the government and from the corporate media. It's just really sad when, you know, kids at school are being harassed or arrested for. Yeah, Muslim kids, you know, Arabic kids are being harassed and arrested for very mild my things that aren't even bad or aren't even wrong, just misinterpreted, and it's just really embarrassing to be part of a country where the citizens do that to each other and to other human beings.
Well, let's spend the last four minutes we have is on talking about the upcoming election a year from today. That's January 2017 will be Obama's last day. But unfortunately, he will be replaced by another imperial president, be it Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, or Ted Cruz. As of today, those are the leading candidates. But you can make more comment. You already talked about people supporting Sanders on that. And with, as you and I agree, that electing a president with a D or an R in front of their names is not going to change anything in this country. So just end with telling us, what can we do? How can we build a movement to create a better, peaceful, and a compassionate world?
Well, you know, the presidential elections in the United States, I think, are just, they're just show. They're just staged events. We get the voters get to vote for two candidates. So there's many candidates on the ballot, but the two leading candidates, like in 2012, the Democrat and Republican got like 98.5% of the vote when there was like 25 or 30 candidates on the ballot. Yeah. So that means the rest of us divided 1.5% of the votes. So I think really, I'm not saying don't vote, but I'm saying don't put all of your energy, your money, your resources, your hopes, your dreams into that office. That's a dead end. I think real organizing becomes locally and as local as you can make it. And work on issues in your community and work on making your environment and your community peaceful and prosperous and healthy. It's just like a cliche that says, think globally and work locally, but I think that it's a real valid way to do activism. And I'm really looking forward to coming down to Fresno soon.
Okay, you have another minute to tell our audience how you have written many books, so how they can buy your books and how they can get on your email list or whatever you want to give any information. Take a minute.
Right, everything's at CindySheehanSoapbox.com. It is a blog spot, but if you just put in CindySheehanSoapbox.com, you'll get taken there. There's information on my archives, my books, the bloggers, and there's a contact form. My email is simple, CindySheehanSoapbox@gmail.com, and I'm on Facebook, Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. Radio show is on Facebook, so I'm very easy to get a hold of, and I respond to people when they try to get a hold of me.
Within a minute, usually.
Very, very quickly.
Thank you so much, and I am looking forward to, we will start working on, like we just confirmed that last night, about David Swanson coming, and you are coming on an event on Memorial Day. So
we're very, very excited about that. David's an old and dear friend of mine, so I'm not only excited about coming to Fresno, but doing a few things with David while he's in California.
Yes, that's prompted me to ask you because I learned that you will be doing an event with him on Sunday the 29th in Oakland.
Oakland, and then one in Oakland and one in Berkeley, and there'll be more information when that's available.
That's available, yeah. We'll start working on our venue and time and stuff depending upon David's schedule. Thank you so much for being my guest on the show, and we're looking forward to have you back in Fresno in May. Take care of yourself.
Okay, Dan, thanks for inviting me. Bye-bye.
Thank you.